Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, musicians. So go ahead and be seated. I'm going to do a little commercial before I get started. 1 week from tonight will be our business meeting on Wednesday, then Thursday and Friday and Saturday is winter fire. I hope as many of our church members that are able to go to winter fire, I hope you can make it. It'll be an encouragement to you. Amen. I want to certainly encourage our voting church members to get the three resolutions that we'll be voting on next Wednesday from Sister Jennifer. If you haven't got yours, please see her tonight. Or she'll have them again on Sunday. But we are going to be voting on our constitution and bylaws and some modifications there too. So if you are a voting church member, that should be of high importance to you and of great interest. It has to deal with the future of our church going forward. Our trustees have been working very diligently and hard and meeting several different times on considering these matters, and it's now time for the church body, amen, to consider them as a whole, amen. So that will be next Wednesday. I've heard it said so many times, you get what you preach. And I have been very interested, not just lately, but seems like forever or a very long time in Bible studies. I think Bible studies are a proven way to get people to understand what the Word of God says. Because our world, our society, just plain normally don't understand the Bible. They just, you know, the world, it just goes right over your head, and people don't really know what the Bible says. In fact, if you're not looking into the Bible yourself, it is possible to not know what the Bible says. There's lots of Bible studies that are really good. Some of them are very, very simple. I know Jordan and Eric, a few weeks ago, we went over at my house and a roadmap to salvation. It's just a little list of 13 scriptures. You know, it's very simple. I mean, you could put that in your Bible case or your fold of your Bible and carry that around with you. You'd be ready at any time when somebody would want a Bible study. There it is. Just read these scriptures and talk about them as you go. And the Word will speak for itself. Amen. So that's a little tiny simple Bible study. Another one I like is the New Birth Experience. It's a little pamphlet, and it, if you just read the pamphlet and read the scriptures, there's the whole Bible study. It's very simple. There's another one, A Place Prepared for You, another little pamphlet Bible study. I got one here by Felix Crowder, The Altar Worker's Guide. It talks about how to pray for people. Now you get into real Bible scholarly writings. Essential Doctrines of the Bible by our bishop, David K. Bernard. It has different topics in there. And whether if you're, what the topic is that your friend is asking about, well, do a little Bible study on that, and it's laid out for you. So Bible studies don't come in just one form. It's not just one way. If you're studying the Bible, amen, God bless you. Amen, God will give you power, amen, for studying His Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I know for many, many years, years. We got this thing. It's kind of funny. What does it say? Copyright 1979. Teacher's Guide, Rightly Dividing the Word. When I first bought this little pack, it came with cassette tapes. I don't know how many of you could even listen to that anymore. It's got cassette tapes. You could listen to somebody teaching that Bible study and get a good, some people learn by hearing. You know, it's a way that some people learn well is by hearing. So you could listen to it. Some people learn by reading. There's a little pamphlet, a book, you know, that's got all the scriptures written out in it. And there's little study sheets. You'd be surprised how many people like study sheets. But it comes with pre-printed study sheets with the scripture listed and just a couple of words with each little scripture. So you read the scriptures and you just read the little comments, and it's a fantastic Bible study. In fact, this is what I'm planning to do tonight, is I'd like to encourage our folks, especially people that come to church on Wednesday night. See, these are the people I'm hoping to get the Wednesday night people to teach the people who don't come on Wednesday night Bible studies. Amen. Or your friends or your family. You get the idea, right? You get the idea. But there's lots that we're teaching at my house at 6 o'clock on Sundays. We're doing Search for Truth right now. If you're interested in Search for Truth, come on to my house on Sundays at 6 o'clock. We've had end-time Bible studies at my house, and we may do it again. We get a group of people that want to look into the end-time Bible study. We'll do it again. But I think it's a good thing to be studying the Bible. In the New Testament, we see that they went house to house, you know, and they were preaching and teaching the Word. You're not going to get too much of the Bible. It's just, I would think, almost impossible to get too much of the Bible. Amen. Very, very good. If you bring that, and it's not possible that I would get done tonight, because this Rightly Dividing the Word, is which I'm going to go into and begin, it normally takes, it says an hour, two one-hour sessions. But I've never done this Bible study in 1 hour. It just, I don't know that it, unless you just, no talking aloud, just read the scriptures, and nobody wants to study the Bible like that. I mean, you got to take time to read the scriptures and talk about what it says, and, you know, just take your time. You may have to take more than an hour, or maybe you'll have more than two sessions, but it's good, good stuff. Praise the Lord, Rightly Dividing the Word. I found this the other day on my computer, and I was chuckling to myself as I looked at the graphics. You know, we think of today the computer animations and the things. Well, this is a version of the 1979 modern. In fact, I think this PowerPoint portion of this Bible study probably didn't come out until the early 80s. But I've had it for a very, very long time. But hope you'll get a kick out of the modern, updated version of Rightly Dividing the Word. Possibly 1982. But anyway, I had fun looking at it. I thought, well, I know I could. I don't have any problem teaching the Bible. In fact, I like teaching the Bible. But I want us, we, I'm telling you, there are ways that you can teach the Bible study without going to Bible college. You can do it. There's lots of ready-made tools, lots of ready-made resources where you can just use one of these resources, find someone who wants to know about the Bible. And my folder here has different updated versions. If you order one now, it comes in color. Huh? Look at that. Here's the old one. Here's the new one. The study sheets are a little, it doesn't look like it was run off on a Xerox, those ones that came out with blue lettering and it added, that's when this Bible study, when I first got it, it was run off on Xerox paper, I think, or something. But it's been around a long time, but you know what? The Word of God is still good. Amen. So we're going to do the updated version. I don't know, there might be one newer, but this is the one I have. Rightly Dividing the Word, part one, talks about the Word. Before we start here, would you pray with me? Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would, God, give anointing to what we share tonight, what we look into. Lord, that we truly would rightly divide the Word. Lord, as we look into Scriptures, I pray that you would touch our hearts. Lord, that you would lead us and help us and guide us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Part one. The authority of the Word. Go ahead and hit the space bar there, bro. Make it. All right, figure out how to advance the slide. There we go. Okay. The authority of the Word. Hit the button. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, and by the way, I have a little thumb drive with this on it. If you want a copy of it, go see Brother Andre. I'll give it to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can have it on your laptop. Praise the Lord. Everyone is looking for truth. Everybody wants the truth. Nobody wants to be lied to, right? I'm telling you, in fact, I've said it many, many times. I'll probably say it many, many more times. If you will know the Word, you will recognize the truth. Amen. And you will recognize a lie. You'll recognize the lie that the world is going to try to tell you because you know the truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Each church, I would say every church, says it has the truth. But yet, there's all kinds of religions. There's all kinds of teachings. There's all kinds of different beliefs and doctrines. There's all kinds of different religious rituals who has the truth? How do we know who has the truth? Thy word, the Bible, is truth. Amen. If you know the Bible, you will know the truth. We need to let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. Doesn't matter if the whole world is unified. If it's against the Word of God, if what man says disagrees with the Word, reject what man is saying. If what man says agrees with the word, accept what man is saying. Not because he said it, but because it's in the word. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Spacebar. The word of God, the ultimate authority, the final authority. How do you like that font? Whoa. Wow. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's probably not a real popular portion of Scripture in many circles. But there will be a judgment. And it's the Word of God that we will be judged by. That last verse we just read had the word whosoever in it. Space. No man's name is mentioned. It's whosoever. Next, each man is rewarded for his own works. Next. Some say, I don't believe God would send me to hell just because I don't come up to his word. There's people that will tell you, oh, I'm okay. Oh, I believe in God. Well, are they okay? And do they really believe in God? Well, maybe. But it's going to be the word of God that they're judged by. But according to the word, it says, whosoever. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I mean, we don't get to pick and choose how to interpret the word of God. The word of God really does give us very plainly what it really says. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God wrote the word. Men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The third scripture. You take one place in the Bible, A, and some people would lead you to believe that it is in conflict with scripture number B. But if you have this apparent condition, talking about scripture in the Bible, there is, hit the space. The next slide, there is almost all the time a C. We need to look for the third scripture. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. You know, in one place it tells that, go out and do thou likewise. And another scripture says Judas hanged himself. Well, it would be a misinterpretation of the Bible if someone was trying to use those two places in scripture to tell somebody to go hang yourself. That would be a misinterpretation. The Bible doesn't really say that, even though both places are in the Bible. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to get a right mindset. We got to get a right understanding in our own head of what the Word of God really says. How is it that we are going, that we need to be saved? How is it that we can understand who God is? How shall we live and what shall we do? I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. The books of the Bible, New Testament has four, first four books, the Gospels, the book of Acts is a book all unto its own. The Pauline epistles and the general epistles go from Acts all the way up to the book of Revelation. And book Revelation is a book all on its own category in itself, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we have to rightly divide the word, or put it in its proper place, or actually understand it like it was actually intended. Question to inspire thought. Some say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Just repeat these words after me and you will be saved. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, it is a portion of truth. You do have to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but don't stop there. Because if you stop right there, you will be lost. There's more. There's more that God wants for us in our life. Amen. Can a man be sincerely wrong? Man, I've known some very sincere people. And I also know they were wrong. Because their actions, their beliefs, and their lifestyle was contrary to the Word of God. More questions to inspire thought. Is doctrine? No, doctrine is teaching. Is doctrine important according to the Word of God? How important is doctrine? Now, if the Bible says that doctrine is not important, then it is not important. If the Bible says it is important, then it is really important. Next. Questions of inspired thought. Again, are there false prophets today? There were false prophets in the Bible. And there are false prophets today. Well, if there are false prophets, who are the false prophets according to the Word of God? By the time we finish this first study, you will know exactly how to tell a false prophet according to the Word of God. Not because he said or she said or somebody thinks. You can weigh their words, their actions, and their life by the Word of God. Is the word doctrine or gospel necessary for salvation? These are honest questions. Many people feel it is not essential for salvation. But let's see what the word says about it. Part two is the importance of the word, the gospel, and doctrine. Next, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Man, we got to stick with what's in the Bible. I don't have to make nothing up. If I just keep myself tied to the Word of God, I can always feel fully confident. Amen. In teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I'm telling you, God changes us. Praise the Lord. Yes, he does. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Man, doctrine is powerful. Amen. Scriptural understanding of doctrine is a key factor in our understanding the Word of God. Amen. Sounds like Paul thinks doctrine is important. Doctrine will save you, is what that last portion of Scripture just told us. Save you and those that hear you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. And there's going to be a lot of people lost. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Amen. This isn't in the study guide, but one portion or key trait that I like about this verse, you notice how this word straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T, you know what that is? Anybody ever heard of the Bering Strait between Russia and Alaska? It's a narrow body of water. How about 3.5 feet wide? A narrow body of water. Not straight, like straight as an arrow, or straight like a plumb line, or straight as a level. Not straight like you have to get everything figured out first, but a narrow body of water. Man, I think that's awesome to me. Next verse. And few there be that find it. So why does it say few? Why few people? Why doesn't everybody want to know this? Why doesn't everybody know what the Bible says? The next verse, 15 to 20, because of false prophets. People are being taught things that are not true in the Bible. Because of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree will bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay. Weigh what they're saying. Not against what he said, she said, we said, they said, I said, he said. Not against what other people say. But weigh what people, what preachers are saying against the word of God. Amen. How can we know a false prophet? Look at that picture. Wow. That's 1979 version right there, I think. Oh, I got a kick out of it anyway. There's a definite fruit that a false prophet will produce. He might not look like this guy. It's not going to be that obvious. They may look real good. They may have their hair just right, even if they don't have much left. They may have their nice suit on, ties just right. Don't judge them by their outward appearance. Judge them by the word. I'm telling you, don't settle for anything less. I've had people in our church, oh, well, I was just going over here, and they'd tell me the name of the church. You know, I want to be nice. I do. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because if I don't tell you the truth, God will hold me personally accountable for not telling you the truth. Man, I can't hardly choke it out of my mouth. Weigh them. I know they're a Trinitarian church. I know that they baptize in the titles, that they don't use the name of Jesus. I know that they don't believe in the gift of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I know they don't live a holy life. I know that church that you're referring to. I'll refrain from saying the name. And you want to trade that? You want to trade this for that? When you've been going to church and know who Jesus is for a dozen years, and you want to go to that? I'll tell you what, as your pastor, I'm warning you, judge them by their word. Now, if you're moving across country, your job is moving. In fact, I moved from Wisconsin to Virginia, and from Virginia to Bristol, and from Bristol to here. And the condition for every move in my life has been, is there an apostolic Jesus name, one God, holiness, believing church in that place where I'm going? If I don't know that before I go there, I ain't going. I ain't going. If God is in it, and I can live for God in a good church, then it becomes okay. That wasn't in the notes either. It's the truth. What is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? It's doctrine. It's what they're teaching. It's what they're preaching. It's what they're living. We must beware. Beware of the wolves that are out there. The false prophets that are telling you something that's not really in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, just because they're religious, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I tell you, God honors his word. He does. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We will be judged by the word. How can we know a false prophet? Continuing. The false prophet teaches how to use the name of the Lord without full obedience to God. Everybody should love Jesus. We're all going to heaven. That's just plain not true. That's a lie. We're all going to heaven when you obey the word of God. Don't forget that part. Don't forget the part about you got to repent. You got to stop sinning. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to live for God rightly. Don't leave those parts out. The results, they thought they were saved. How sad would it be to go to church for years and years and be found wanting? We better know the word. The word, the only way that you're going to be sure that you're right with God is you know the word. In fact, I would advise you not to only depend on what I say. You should check it out for yourself. You should know what the word of God really says. Don't depend on what anybody else says. You yourself must know what the Word of God says. But Jesus didn't know them. He said, depart from me. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Psalm 138, verse 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The word of God is powerful. It's the rock. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is a rock that we can build our salvation upon. The wise man will build his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house on shifting sands. And great was the fall of it. Next. The purpose of this study. Number one, not to take away from anything you have already received from the Lord. I'm thankful when people come and they have had already a important experience with God in their life. That's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. Number two, the purpose of the study is to give you scriptural direction. After taking this study, if you see there is something more you need to do, do it. Number three, to give you scriptural warning. James warns us that we must do what the Bible tells us to do, or we are just deceiving ourselves. Man, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to believe a lie. I want to know the truth. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He was given the keys. He was given an understanding, a revelation of who Jesus is. There really is a revelation. There really is an anointing from God that comes and opens our understanding. It reveals to us His Word. We can know His truth by His Word. Upon this rock. The revealed truth preached by the apostles. Looking, find it. You'll see it in the Bible. What are the keys? He was given the keys to the kingdom. Well, what are those keys? The words that are going to be preached by the apostles that will open the door for you to get into the kingdom. Amen. God is going to back up what Peter says. You know, we could stop right here, go to Acts, find out what Peter taught, obey it. Jesus could not condemn us over doctrine. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I don't know if you can. I hope that's big enough where you can read it in the back seats. Can you see it? Okay. Some people got good eyes. If I was sitting back there. purifying your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Man, I hope you like apostolic Jesus name preaching. Amen. I love it. I tell you, sis, I love it. I love the truth. Amen. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth, being born again by the word of God, the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, the gospel that Peter preached. They obeyed the gospel which the apostles preached. They were saved when they obeyed the word of that gospel. Amen. It happened then. It happens right now. I'm telling you, it's the same plan of salvation all the way till Jesus comes. Amen. God's not changing this plan. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I've had people on my job tell me, you're one of those Jesus-only people? Man, I'm Jesus everything. I wake up in Jesus. I eat in Jesus. I worship in Jesus. I live in Jesus. Jesus is everything to me. He's the Most High. He's the all in all. He's the Mighty One. There is no other God. Yep, I'm Jesus only. And I'm not offended. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Raise your hand. I believe in Jesus. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, of the stone of stumbling, rock of offense. Some people are offended when you say you must be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the only way people were ever baptized, is in Jesus' name. Nobody anywhere in the Bible was baptized any other way. The whole Bible, everybody baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all the same. Jesus is the saving name. Amen. Well, who is going to stumble? those being disobedient, disobedient to the word. You can choose to believe me or not. But the word of God is already the established truth, whether if you believe it or not. It's already settled. Some say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe you've got to do everything this Bible says. There's no such thing. The Word of God is absolute. If you don't believe this Bible, then you don't believe Jesus. It's just the very honest truth. Jesus is the Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. 1 John 4:6. Ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you're believing something other than what the Bible really says, well, that's an error. But if you are believing what the Bible really says, then that is the truth. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 18 to 20. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Man, I want to be built on the revelation of who Jesus is. I want the base of my faith needs to be Jesus. Praise the Lord. What foundation, the rock on which we must build. Build your house right there on the rock, as foretold by the prophets, fulfilled by and received from Jesus, the apostles' doctrine. I'll tell you what, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is the rock that we can build our faith on. Amen. I don't know why they put this thing right over the top of the scriptures. If you want Jesus to have prayed for you, you will have to believe on the apostles' doctrine. You know, sanctify. We did read these scriptures already. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. When we read the scriptures today, we have the recorded words of the apostles. We know what their words are because they're written in the Bible. We are believing on their words. Jesus prayed for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They received the word of the apostles. Which one? As the word of men or as the word of God? Check. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Next, the scripture confirms. Whew, that make you dizzy. Whew. Had to wait for it to stop before I read it. Whew. Jesus gave the word to the apostles. You are saved by the apostles' teaching. Next. You are built upon the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Does anybody else here think that you could read this? If you had it on your laptop, do you think you could read it to somebody? Talk to them about the scriptures. Then you could do a Bible study. Amen. See Brother Andre, he'll give it to you. Will you believe on him through their word? I believe the word of God. A warning here. Now the scriptures get so strong. Had you not studied these previous scriptures, you probably could not accept some of the things that they are about to say. With the scriptures do say some strong things. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Don't get offended at the word of God. Believe it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Next. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. And the servant of the Lord and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Sometimes people can be their own worst enemy. Did you know that? Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It's a trap. Look out. Who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil would have you to believe a lie. You need to know what the word of God says so you will know the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's a picture of our society today. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort they are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. If ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I have known some brilliant people that refused to believe the Word of God. Just because you're really, really smart, or you got a great education, or you may really know a lot about your field of expertise, what we need to know is what the Word of God says. And then God can bless us in all these other different areas. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle with. They got trouble understanding the Word of God, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Don't buck up and try to disallow what the Word of God really says. I'll tell you, the Word, if we'll just take the Word for what it says, it's good for us, just the way it is. Don't twist it. Don't torture yourself by trying to argue with it. The Word of God's still right, whether if you want to argue with it or not. The Word of God's still true. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. We don't need any other books. The Bible is enough. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Man, I don't want to leave anything out. Man, I want to preach it just as straight as I can. I want to give you the whole thing. I want to, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. I think I'm going to stop right there. Stand with me. There's more to come. I don't know if it'll be one of my other Bible teacher helpers that want to continue from this point, or if next time I come on a Wednesday night, I guess the next week is our business meeting, so it won't be next week, but next week I'll be given the great news of what God did for us last year, and a great looking forward into what God is going to do for us in the future. I highly encourage, in fact, if you're a member of this church, I'm asking you, please come next Wednesday night to our business meeting. Amen. It will be a very important meeting. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even right now, in the name of Jesus.